Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. We're often so focused on eating the right fruits and vegetables for our health that we may overlook another significant source of vitamins, minerals, and beneficial substances. We turn to spices to liven up our foods, but they offer more than just taste. Many have health-promoting properties as well.
Here with a look at some of the best healing spices to add to our diet is Denise Foley, an award-winning health journalist who has covered women and children's health, nutrition, and psychology for over 30 years. She's the contributing executive editor at Prevention Magazine and is the author of 5 books. Welcome to Take Care, Denise. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Most of us associate the use of spices with folk remedies. Ginger calms an upset stomach. Eating hot peppers opens up the nasal passages. But these are more than old wives' tales, and your magazine has covered this several times as a medical story.
Oh, absolutely. When I first started in this business, they were old folk tales, and somewhere out in the world of science, somebody decided to figure out, well, do these things really work? And so they are really the subject of quite a number of research studies over the last couple, just the last maybe 5-10 years.
And what have they discovered are the most beneficial spices?
Well, I think there's two that really spring to mind for me, the ones that I've been reading about the most. First is cinnamon. And the other is turmeric, which you know many of your listeners may not know, but they probably eat it all the time because it's the spice that makes curries yellow, and it's also what makes mustard yellow. So we have it all the time. But those are two I think that I've seen the most attention being given to these days.
Now, in terms of spices, I think that when we talk about it, we're assuming that we're talking about the dried substances in a jar. But are there some, and I've never seen cinnamon fresh or turmeric fresh. I mean, they're derived from other things, aren't they? So, in other words, that's not an issue. But are there some spices that we would prefer to eat fresh?
You know, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. There are some that are you eat fresh, you know, basically because they're wonderful to add to food. I don't think that there are any spices that spring to mind for me, maybe other than rosemary, that are eaten fresh. You know, basil, of course, oregano. We eat those fresh. Ginger, which is a root, we do eat that fresh. But I don't know that it really makes any difference in terms of if you're looking at the health aspect of it. I don't think it really makes any difference. You know, nobody is going to be chewing on cinnamon bark, and the reason that we have that, you know, powdered is because you can't eat the bark.
Okay, so for the purposes of today's discussion, everything that we're talking about is the dried spice we find in a jar.
It's good enough.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay.
I had a question about the drying process, and does that reduce the effectiveness? But that would beg the question in the lab when they're finding medicinal uses and science is studying it, as you mentioned, with cinnamon. I assume then that they're using the bottled spice in the studies so that we could assume that it's that form of it that's the most potent and has the good benefits.
Yes, in fact, you know, I'm glad you brought up cinnamon because a few years ago, one of the things that really got everybody interested in it was that scientists discovered that just having a teaspoon of it a day could help keep your blood sugar levels stable, which is kind of amazing. And I remember talking to doctors who recommend that their diabetic patients in the morning, they have their oatmeal with a teaspoon of cinnamon on it. And then, of course, as they do a little bit more research, they discover that what cinnamon does is it mimics the effects of insulin in the body. So I'm not going to, you know, say it's acting as a drug, but it actually has those properties, which is kind of amazing. And a lot of people who are on insulin, though, have to be careful about using cinnamon, so it has its good and its bad side.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're talking to Denise Foley, the executive editor at Prevention Magazine, about spices right now, about cinnamon, because there are some spices and foods that can interfere with regular prescription medications. I know grapefruit is one that people have to be careful about.
Right. That's another interesting point. Now doctors are looking at grapefruit as possibly being added to some, or, you know, added to people's, you know, regimens, because it potentiates, it makes drugs work stronger. So you may be able to take lower doses.
Right. And that's why they're telling people to be careful about when they
right.
have grapefruit. Right. But getting back to some spices, do you think it's hard sometimes to incorporate the amount to receive the benefit? Like one teaspoon, I was thinking I may sprinkle some cinnamon on French toast, but I don't know how I would get a full teaspoon. But I guess putting it in oatmeal is actually a good way to get it. But some of these other things where you need one or two teaspoons might be a little more challenging to incorporate into the diet.
I think for the most part, some of the studies that you're going to read, they are using doses much larger than any of us would certainly eat in a normal diet. And one way to get around that is to look for some of these spices. Like, for instance, ginger comes in capsule form. So, you know, if you want to take ginger for stomach aches or nausea, or you know, now they're looking at it as possibly being anti-inflammatory. So if you have arthritis or joint muscle pain, that you might want to get ginger capsules. Some people don't like the taste of ginger. Some people, you know, may have a problem trying to get that much ginger into their bodies. I mean, there's just so much of that you can eat. So that's one thing to look for. And some of them are available in that way. You can get capsules of turmeric, for example.
Okay, let's talk about the benefits of turmeric. What are they?
Well, this is the one that is, you know, it's the most popular topic of conversation, I think, around some of these research labs, because it is, even though it's been around for about 4,000 years, and we know it just as a spice, there's a substance in it called curcumin, and it has been shown to do a number of things. Number one, it's a very powerful antioxidant, so it may help reduce some of the damage that you get from just your daily living from aging, and may help, of course, reduce some of the signs of aging. It also has been shown to be effective against tumors, especially cancers of the esophagus, mouth, intestines, stomach, and skin. And it's an anti-inflammatory, so it may produce, it produces fewer side effects than pain relievers. So some people are using it for people who have arthritis or who have chronic pain problems. It may reduce cholesterol. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I could keep going on and on and on. It's really amazing.
And what size serving are we talking of turmeric?
Well, it's going to be different for each one of these studies.
But a teaspoon's a good general rule of thumb?
A teaspoon, probably. One of the sources that I took a look at, and that's the University of Maryland, which has a wonderful database of herbal and natural remedies, they suggest 1 to 3 grams of the powdered root or standardized powder, 400 to 600 milligrams 3 times a day. And again, you can get that. You don't have to eat teaspoons of turmeric. You can actually get that in capsules.
Parsley and oregano are two other spices that have benefits. Why don't you tell us about them?
Well, I always tell people do not leave that parsley on your plate. It's not just a garnish. It's got these incredible antioxidants in it, flavonoids. It's really, really high in vitamin C. And in fact, there have been studies that have found that it can help you reduce homocysteine, which is a risk factor for heart disease, partly because it's got a lot of folic acid in it. And there are some studies that suggest that, you know, getting a lot of vitamin C foods into your diet can help protect you against rheumatoid arthritis. New studies found out that lifestyle plays a big role in that, which we didn't realize before. So don't just use it as a garnish. That's why I always eat a lot of tabbouleh, which is a Middle Eastern dish that's made mainly with parsley, which is delicious, and it is incredibly healthy. Loads of vitamin C and loads of vitamin K.
And what about oregano?
Oregano, one of my favorites. I grow that myself. So oregano is supposed to be, again, we were talking about old folk remedies. It's supposed to be really good for respiratory tract disorders, coughs, asthma, bronchitis, also GI disorders, headaches. The one thing that that I've found when I was reading about this, you have to be really careful about taking the oil of oregano. It's safest when you eat it in foods, in those amounts that you would eat in foods, but it can cause an allergic reaction in some people. And there isn't really any recognized safe dose of oregano oil. So it's probably a good idea to stay away from the oil and stick to either the dried leaves or you can eat oregano raw. And actually, it's very delicious and it smells wonderful. The thing I always love about oregano, and people talk about taking oregano oil for this and that and the other thing, it's often used topically as an insect repellent. So as the summer is coming on, you might want to think about putting a little bit around, batting a little behind your ears to keep those mosquitoes away.
And how about a quick look at rosemary, which is one of my favorites?
Isn't it the best?
Absolutely.
I love rosemary. Rosemary is another one of those herbs and spices that help stimulate the immune system. It's also anti-inflammatory. And when I say that, you know, inflammation is not just something that can cause problems with headaches and whatnot and cuts and bruises. It really can become systemic. And at that point, it becomes a risk factor for heart disease and diabetes. And the other thing that rosemary appears to do is that it may work on your brain and to improve your focus and your concentration. And the other thing that it does is that if you sprinkle some rosemary put it in or on meats that you're going to be cooking on the grill, it reduces the amount of cancer-causing substances that are created when you grill meat. And so that's something also to remember this summer. Little rosemary on those burgers. You'll get used to the taste.
And, you know, we could probably go through the spice cabinet all day long, but we're going to have to wrap it up here. Thank you so much, Denise Foley.
Oh, you're welcome.
Denise Foley is an award-winning health journalist and the contributing executive editor at Prevention Magazine. For more information on Denise Foley and healing spices, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org.
Coming up on next week's show, don't put down that cup of coffee. In fact, you may want to have a couple more. A New York Times wellness writer looks at recent scientific studies that reveal the benefits of coffee. Plus, the final third of life offers opportunities for peak experiences we may have been too young to enjoy previously. We'll take a look at the idea of conscious eldering.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on iTunes and the WRVO website. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
Information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.